FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is August 21st, 2019. Month is just zipping right by. Seems like they all do these days, doesn't it? Well, don't let it zip by. Send us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. If you've got a guest you want me to get on the show, if you've got an issue you want me to address, or if you just want to say hello, kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, person you're about to hear from, this is very important, especially if you are in the market for health insurance, which probably most of you listening to this, unless you're on Medicare, are in the market for private insurance. And a couple of cases have come along that have really kind of blown the doors off this, really make a big difference. Sally Pipes is with us. Sally, you're really our expert when it comes to healthcare insurance. You're CEO of Pacific Research Institute, which is San Francisco-based, hard-to-believe think tank that really specializes in all of this. And you have good news for people who are looking for healthcare insurance alternatives, don't you?
Well, exactly. I mean, President Trump introduced two executive orders last year. One was for short-term limited duration plans, and short-term limited duration plans, were plans that people could buy a short-term plan for 12 months without having to have plans that comply with Obamacare's 10 essential health benefits. But in 2016, President Obama decided that this was not a good idea, and he didn't like it, so he reduced the time that you could have a short-term limited duration plan down to 3 months. But fortunately, under President Trump's executive order, people can get a short-term limited duration plan with that doesn't have to have 10 essential health benefits, and you can have it for up to 12 months, and it's renewable for 3 years. So this is a terrific option for people who, particularly for young people who are probably starting out, they're on their own, they don't have employer-based coverage. And also, for people who, are between jobs, say they, 180 million Americans have employer-sponsored coverage, but if they lose their job, leave their job, these short-term limited duration plans are a good intermediate stepping stone until they get their next job with employer-sponsored coverage. But so several states, California included, have, of course, banned short-term limited duration plans, but they are a good option. And now a judge rule that, that they can proceed. So we'll see. I'm sure they won't proceed in California because we don't want competition. The Democrats who control the gubernatorial, the assembly and the Senate. But, and then the other one is the Association Health Plans, the executive order, where small groups can band together as a block and make a larger pool and can purchase insurance to get better rates.
Those small association ones, do they have to be Obamacare compliant? Those 10 magical coverages, like pregnancy coverages for men, things like that?
Yes. I believe that they do. But still, it's a tremendous, because people in the small group market under Obamacare, they couldn't afford to, small employers couldn't afford to purchase coverage with all the mandates on. So this is a great way for people to band together and have a larger pool and get better coverage at a lower price.
Mm-hmm. So there's real advantages here. We're not just talking about if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor and all that.
Yes. Well, that was one of President Obama's key phrases when he was running for president, and then when Obamacare was being debated in early 2010, Obamacare became the law on March 23rd, 2010. But that was his big calling card. If you like your doctor and you like your insurance plan, nothing will change. And of course, we all know almost 10 years later that that was a lie. He also made the statement that the average family would see the cost of their coverage go down by $2,500 a year. And we also know that is not true either.
Mm-hmm. So do you think we're heading in a direction where we'll actually see cost of healthcare insurance head down?
Well, I mean, I think there's one thing is that the 2020 election, I think healthcare reform is going to be the number one domestic policy issue in this upcoming election. As you know, we have 24 Democratic candidates battling it out for the nomination.
All? And only 24, huh?
Bernie Sanders. Yeah. I think it might be down to 23 because John Hickenlooper dropped out. He's from Colorado. I think he's going to run to the Senate there.
John who? But,
you know,
he was running for president. I wasn't aware.
Yeah, he was on the list from Colorado. Yes. But they're all, whether it's Bernie Sanders, Bill de Blasio, Senator Elizabeth Warren, they're all, you know, pushing Medicare for all. Then you have Kamala Harris, the senator from California, who one day supports Medicare for all, and the next day she's at a war with Bernie Sanders. She doesn't. But and then you have the next tranche of people, the Joe Bidens of the world, that support not Medicare for all, but they support the public option, so that there would be a government insurance plan competing against private insurers in the exchanges. And of course, the public option would just be a stepping stone to single payer, because ultimately the government insurance plan would be priced lower because they don't have to make a profit. They can tax us more. And so that would crowd out private coverage. So, you know, on the Democratic side, I think the American public are kind of finally waking up to the idea that a complete government takeover of our healthcare system and banning all private coverage is not a good idea. But it's going to be an interesting race. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if the Republicans actually release a replacement plan. President Trump said back in June he was going to introduce a fantastic plan in July and then August. Now he says September. But we don't know what's going to be in that. But I do think the Republicans are going to do well in 2020. They are going to have a plan that the American voting public can see what it is that they do support on healthcare reform, rather than just saying, no, we don't like single payer or the public option.
Yeah, they got to run for something, not against Obamacare. That ship has sailed. But you never know. The courts have been helping out Trump a lot lately. Maybe the Supreme Court's going to strike down Obamacare, which on the one hand would be very dangerous for the Republicans. On the other hand, would be an incredible opportunity if they don't blow it like they usually do.
Right. Well, I mean, this appeal case going on in the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans, that we expect a decision on that in December. And so if the attorneys general from the 17 Democratic states lose, and it's ruled that the individual mandate, which has been removed as of January 1st this year, no longer viable, that the whole law cannot stand, I think the case will then go to the U.S. Supreme Court. And there's a lot of division within the Republican Party on, you know, whether they want the appeal court to overturn or to uphold the earlier lower court decision from Texas. Yeah. On the fact that the law was unconstitutional.
Well, the Justice Department said, go ahead, get rid of it. We don't want it. We're not going to defend it. That was,
yes.
You know, I mean, when Obama did that, that was perfectly okay. But Trump doing it, not okay. They have a right to express their opinion as to the constitutionality of a law and whether or not they want to defend it in court. Kind of a slippery slope, though, because then you pick and choose which laws. But right now, they're carrying out the law, carrying out Obamacare as they're required to under the law. And, well, it looks like the prices have stopped really escalating the way they were, going up double digits every year. But I wonder if that's just a temporary reprieve or not.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Trilogy Metals is a world-class developer in Alaska's Ambler Mining District. The company already possesses 8 billion pounds of copper, 3 billion pounds of zinc, over 1 million gold equivalent ounces, and now over 77 million pounds of cobalt. Trilogy's Arctic project boasts an after-tax net present value of $1.4 billion with a 33% IRR. Trilogy is led by an experienced management team with proven success in discovering and developing projects in Alaska. The company is well capitalized, has no debt, and possesses strong institutional support. Trilogy trades on the New York and Toronto exchanges under the ticker symbol TMQ. To learn more, go to TrilogyMetals.com. That's TrilogyMetals.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Right. Well, because, the increases, for this year were about 26%, and then for the year prior about 21%. Now they're saying that the rates for 2020 are going to be very low, like, half a percent or whatever. We'll see when they actually, when the rates actually come out. But, the problem is that, so many people, that only 10.8 million people are on the exchanges, on the Obamacare exchanges, correct, whether it's the federal one, healthcare.gov, or the state ones. But, a lot of people that the 85% of people qualify for those subsidies, up to 400% of the federal poverty level, which is about a family income of $103,000. But because so many people, the people that don't qualify for the subsidies, having these huge premium increases plus the high deductibles, they haven't, they've decided to go without coverage. So Obamacare has not helped the people that President Obama thought it would help. It hasn't led to universal coverage. The cost curve has not come down. And Obamacare is not working. We overturned the healthcare system for about 10 million people. It would have been cheaper to
just write them provide a check.
These people with coverage.
Yeah, just create a new, pre-existing healthcare policy, and just pay for it, basically.
Yeah.
And then we wouldn't all be subsidizing all these services. But it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, Sally, the insurance companies saw an opening here. And they took it because they basically wrote Obamacare.
Well, they thought they were going to get, a ton of new customers. And of course, then we found out that a lot of the insurance companies and the exchanges had to drop out. In some counties, there's only one insurer. And now there's a group, this partnership, this alliance that has been set up to fight a single payer. And we all knew, and we said this back, in 2009, 2010, Obamacare was a stepping stone approach. The single payer, the insurance companies supported it, but now that they see, the support for Medicare for All or single payer, now they have a partnership fighting with the drug companies, and the AMA was part of it. They dropped out just last week, but now they're very concerned about, what we knew was inevitable under Obamacare.
Yeah, of course, this is what we said from the beginning. Anyone who took the time to actually analyze the effects of it and judged it in terms of economic realities, behavioral economics, knew exactly the way this thing was going to shake out. So now everybody's paying triple, basically, for their health insurance. Is there any way to bring it down? That's the question.
Right. Well, if the Republicans, keep the presidency, they keep the Senate, and they take back the House, I think, there's a lot of us have good proposals out there on how to replace Obamacare and build a competitive market, because this country is built on entrepreneurship and competition and choice. And so, we need to, build on that, not sort of cut down on the number of options. I thought it was very disappointing when I read that the Business Roundtable just the other day changed their mission statement, moving away from Milton Friedman's great statement about the role of a corporation is to produce shareholder value. Now they're, now they've decided on a mission that, supports all of these sort of social causes. And I think that's very, very worrying.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, the biggest corporations, then that gives them justification to do anything they want, provided it's a socially worthy end, right?
Right, exactly. And all this whole corporate social responsibility has become such a buzzword. But, for companies, this means they will have lower profits and people that will get a smaller return on their investment when you have to, cover a lot of things that aren't really in the main business of a business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yes, it's to make profits for its shareholders. You have these competing stakeholders. That theory became popular over the years, and you have to do for the towns in which you do business, the cities, you have a responsibility to them. You have a responsibility to your employees, to your customers, and to your shareholders. So,
right.
So, but somewhere there needs to be a balance. You just don't want them ripping towns apart, deciding, okay, well, hey, this isn't profitable anymore. We'll just outsource it to someplace. And that's a shame. Too bad. That's not like the best thing either, is it, in the name of profits? Because profits are ephemeral. Sometimes what you do doesn't have any effect. And then 10 years down the road, it has a really bad effect.
Right. But you would hope that corporations, if they maximize their return, they're going to expand their business. They're going to create more jobs. I mean, this is the way, you know, America works. But we're moving so much away from that idea to, you know, making sure everybody is feeling, you know, warm and happy. And, you know, this sort of move has been taking place over the last few years. But I was surprised that the Business Roundtable actually, you know, endorsed this as their mission statement just this week. It's going to be very interesting to see how this all falls out. But there's a lot of opposition from economists on this new mission statement from the Business Roundtable.
As well, there should be. Yes, it's a bad idea on many different levels. Awful idea. Let's hope. So, year from now, okay, where do you think the health insurance debate's going to be? If your best guess.
Well, definitely. Well, I think it's going to be front and center, and it's going to be interesting to see the Democrats. As I said a few minutes ago, there's a huge fight going on between the very left wing, the Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, versus the more moderate, and I hate to say this, but Joe Biden's and Cory Booker's on the public option. But I think they're going to have to sort that out themselves. And if they don't, I mean, I think it certainly is very helpful to the Republican Party, but they need to have a proposal that they can tell the American people what it is. But it's definitely going to be a huge issue, and there are going to be a lot of fights. And I think it's central to this 2020 election. But America cannot afford to go to single payer, because just like in Canada, which bans all private coverage, long waits for care, the average patient waits 5 months from seeing a primary care doctor to getting treatment by a specialist. Rationed care, particularly hurting our elderly. Yes. A doctor shortage when doctors' salaries are tied to Medicare rates, which are 40% below what they get for treating private patients. Higher taxes, new taxes, taxes on the wealthy. Bernie is talking about taxes, and Kamala Harris talking about taxes on sales of stocks and bonds and things like that. So it's going to be a huge thing, but I think it's definitely going to be out there. But we need to work hard to educate Americans on why this single payer Medicare for all or the public option stepping stone approaches are not in the best interest of Americans' healthcare.
Yeah. All right. Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Appreciate you coming on, Sally. Just give us the website.
www.pacificresearch.org. And my book, The False Promise of Single-Payer Healthcare, is available on Amazon.com, and it's published by Encounter Books.
All right. Excellent. Hey, we'll have a link to the site in the show notes. Questions, comments, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Sally, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. And
thanks,
keep
Carrie.
Up the
Good
fight.
Luck. All right. Talk to you soon.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.